We welcome you to worship on this, the third Sunday of Advent. Next Sunday is the day before Christmas. We have our morning service as usual. And then at 4:30 in the afternoon, note the time, it's our Christmas Eve Vespers. I believe these are the announcements for today. Will you stand, please, and join in the call to worship? Watch, wait, the day of the Lord is at hand.
Like the blood on a tree, God's promises are about to blossom.
Stay awake. The day of God is very near. Hymn number 187, Our Day of Joy is Here Again.
Our day of joy is here again, with love and peace and song. Come, let us join the angelic strain with voices clear and strong. Glory to our God we sing, glory to the Lord and King. His goodwill to all abide, his only Christmas died. And darkness lay upon this earth, a glorious light did shine. God sent a gift of priceless worth and showed his love divine. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King. His good will with all abide, his only Christmas tide. Now to the manger let us go, to worship and adore. The tender babe upon the straw, our Savior evermore. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King. His good will with all abide, it's only Christmas tide. How wonderful that God's own Son should show himself. He thrust the mighty from their throne and gave the lowly grace. Glory to our God we sing, glory to our Lord and King. His good will with all abide, his holy Christmas tide.
You may be seated.
Were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
The third Advent candle symbolizes joy and peace. We draw closer to Christmas. As we light this candle, may our hope be renewed that Christ will be born again in our lives. Renew us so that we may welcome Jesus Christ to our thoughts and claim our love as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to whom be glory always. Let us pray. Renew us, Heavenly Father, so that we may welcome Jesus Christ to rule our thoughts and claim our love as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to whom be glory always. In Jesus' name, amen.
Shall we pray? Eternal God, you taught us that the night is far sent and the day is at hand. Keep us awake and alert, watching for your kingdom, and make us strong in faith, so that when Christ comes in glory to judge the earth, we may joyfully give him praise. Amen.
First lesson
is Psalm 126.
It says 126.
On page 472.
472.
Yep. All the way to the end.
Our enemy took us away from Zion, but when the Lord brought us home, it seemed like a dream to us. Our mouths were filled with laughter. Our tongues sang with joy. Then the people of other nations said, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Lord, bless us with great success again. As rain makes streams flow in the Negev desert, those who cry as they plant their crops will sing with joy when they gather them in. Those who go out weeping as they carry seeds to plant will come back singing with joy. They will bring the new crop back with them." Our second reading is John 1, 6 through 8, 19 through 26. In Pew Bible, page 809.
Okay, wait. Look out there and make sure people are on it. And then you can start.
There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He came to be a witness about that light. He was a witness so that all people might believe. John himself was not the light. He came only with as a witness to the light. The true light. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and
Levites
to ask John who he was. John spoke the truth to them. He did not try to hide the truth. He spoke to them openly. He said, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet we've been waiting, we've been expecting?" They answered. "No," he answered. They asked one last time, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back about yourself." John replied, using the words of Isaiah The prophet John said, "I'm the messenger who is calling out in the desert, make the way of the Lord straight." The phrase Pharisees who had been sent asked him, "If you are not the Messiah, why are you baptizing people? Why are you doing that if you aren't Elijah or the prophet we've been expecting?" "I baptize people with water," John replied, "but someone is standing among you whom you do not know. He is the one who comes after me. I am not good enough to untie his sandals." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan River. That was where John was baptizing.
The writer to the Hebrews wrote, "Do not neglect to do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." Well, we will call on the usher to wait on us for the offering. We are also going to receive the Covenant Kids Congo offering today. Thank you, God, for the gift of your Son. Thank you for the opportunity we have to give back to you what you have, get part of what you have given to us. Bless the gift and the givers. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. Shall we pray? Thank you, God, for this Advent season as we prepare for the coming of your Son. As we await the birth of the Prince of Peace, we realize, God, that in parts of our world there is no peace. May the fighting end in the Middle East and in other places. We pray for those people who may be dealing with illness at this time. May they find healing in you. We thank you for our church. We thank you for being with us during this interim period and for the people that we have to fill our pulpit. But we are anxious to have a pastor. Help us to be patient as we look forward to the time when we will have the person that you have for us. Thank you for our military, for Grace and Sarah and Brandon, and for all others who serve to keep us safe. Thank you for our public servants. May they be safe as they serve us, our police force, our fire department, and all others. Be with us now for the rest of the service as we listen to the proclamation of your word. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to the pulpit today, Pastor Scott Nellis. And before he comes to proclaim your word, God's word, we ask you to turn to 169, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Hymn number 169. Tidings bringing, Christ the Babe is Lord of all.
Christ the Babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping, vigil till the morning dew. Son of glory, heard the story, tidings of the gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow,
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again on this Lord's Day. And I am especially glad to have my wife, Nancy, with me this morning. They finally let her out of Biwabic Covenant Church so that she could join with us in worship this morning. My text for this morning, as we draw closer to our Christmas celebration, is from Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Hear the word of God. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, in the midst of everything going on in our lives, in the midst of everything going on in our world, we just want to stop, quiet our hearts, and focus on just being with you this morning, worshiping you, hearing your word, listening to your voice, receiving your guidance and encouragement for our lives today. We just thank you that we have this time together. And we thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that you love us. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Christmas was coming. So a little boy wrote a letter to Santa listing all the gifts he wanted to receive. And just to make sure he had covered all of his bases, he decided to write a letter to Jesus as well. Dear Jesus, he began, I just want you to know that I've been a good boy these last 6 months. Then he stopped, thought about it for a moment, realized that Jesus knew that that wasn't true. So he took the words 6 months and replaced it with 3 months. Then he thought about it some more, and he realized that Jesus knew that wasn't true. So he took the 3 months and replaced it with 3 weeks. Dear Jesus, his letter now read, I just want you to know I've been a good boy for the last 3 weeks. Then realizing that even that wasn't true, he took his paper, crumpled it up, threw it in the waste paper basket. Then he went over to a nativity set that was sitting at a table nearby and picked up the figure of Mary. Then he sat down and began to write another letter. Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again. Well, what about you? Do you have a list of wishes for Christmas this year? Is there anything you need? Is there anything you're looking for? Have you made any requests? Are you the kind of person who likes to be surprised? Well, the gift that Mary received that first Christmas was certainly a surprise. It wasn't anything she asked for, and it certainly wasn't anything she expected. That first Christmas, she was given the gift of a son. And not just any ordinary son. She gave birth to the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Jesus was God's gift to Mary. And Jesus is God's gift to you and me. That's the gift we're celebrating again this Advent Christmas season. This morning, I just want to focus here on Mary and her response when she receives the news that she is the one who's been chosen to give birth to the Messiah. And in the process, as we look at her response, we'll see the example of faith that she sets for us. Our passage begins with a surprise visit from the angel Gabriel. At the time, Mary would have been about 13, 14, 15, maybe 16 years of age. She was living in the village of Nazareth, a backwater little town that was despised by the Jewish people because of the Roman soldiers that were stationed there. We're told here that she was engaged to a man by the name of Joseph. And no doubt the two of them had all these dreams and all these plans for the future together. And then this angel Gabriel shows up and turns their whole world upside down. "Greetings, you who are highly favored," the angel says to her in verse 28. "The Lord is with you." And in response, we're told that Mary was greatly troubled by his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Here we see Mary's initial response to the angel. It was one of fear. It was one of anxiety. This sudden, unexpected visit from the angel startled her. It was perplexing. It was confusing. She was bothered by it and was wondering what in the world was going on. And can you blame her for having that kind of a reaction? I mean, how would you feel if all of a sudden an angel appeared to you out of the blue? It's not every day that you see an angel. In fact, angelic visits are quite rare. They happen, I believe that. I know several people who are convinced that they had an encounter with an angel. One of them was my grandmother. She was adamant about the fact that an angel had rescued her from being run over by a streetcar when she was a young woman in Chicago. It was winter. It was icy. She started to get on the streetcar, and all of a sudden she tripped and slipped and fell and ended up halfway under the streetcar. The driver didn't see her. He started to move forward. But at the last second, this figure appeared and pulled her out from under the streetcar and set her back on her feet. And when she turned to thank him, he was gone. Just like that. She believed that that was an angel. And I believe that that was an angel. But most of us, we're going to go through our lives without seeing one, or at least one that we recognize. So it's only natural for Mary to respond in this way, to be startled, to be troubled, to be perplexed. You know, she was in the presence of a high-ranking heavenly messenger sent from God himself. Now, the angel knows how Mary is feeling and tries to set her at ease. He says to her in verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid." Four words that are repeated throughout the scriptures to various people at various times when they were afraid. Maybe those are the words you need to hear this morning. Maybe there's something going on in your life that's troubling you. Maybe there's something going on that has you perplexed or confused. Maybe you're anxious and feeling unsettled because of whatever's going on in your life. Do not be afraid. Those might be the words that you need to hear. From time to time, we all experience anxiety. We all have our share of fears. There are times when we are confused and we're not sure what God is up to. And it's okay to have those kinds of feelings. That's just part of human life. The problem comes when we allow our anxieties and fears to control us, when they're magnified to such an extent that they paralyze us and dominate our lives. Maybe today finds you worried and anxious about your health. Or maybe you're feeling anxious because of your finances or your job situation. Those of you who are parents raising younger children, maybe you're worried about whether you're getting it right. Those of us who are older who have adult children, we never stop worrying about them, do we? We worry about the choices that they're making and where those choices will lead them. Some of us here this morning might have parents that are getting on up there in years, and we're worried about them. We're watching them and seeing their health decline, and we're wondering how to best care for them. Or you might be anxious today because of some of the changes that are taking place in your life, and you don't deal well with change. Or maybe you need to make some changes, and that's what has you feel perplexed and unsettled. Whatever it might be, if there's anything in your life troubling you today, hear God say to you, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I am with you. I am extending my favor and grace to you. Bring me your troubles. Bring me your anxieties. Call upon me and trust me with those. And let me show you what I can do in your situation. I would encourage you to trust God and know that He can do good things. He can do surprising things in your life if you will look to Him in faith. The angel here goes on to explain the surprising thing that God is going to do in Mary's life. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary, you are the recipient of God's favor and grace. And he has this special assignment for you. He has chosen you to give birth to the Messiah. It's you and through you that the Almighty God is going to come into this world to redeem his people. It's amazing, isn't it? When you think about it, God certainly gave Mary an amazing role in his plans of salvation. He was really asking something of her, wasn't he? Giving birth to Messiah. What a high calling. What an important mission. And now we see Mary's second response. She asks a question. Verse 34. How will this be since I am a virgin? How's this going to work since I've never been with a man before? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a fair question. What the angel was telling Mary was simply impossible for a virgin to give birth to a child. It's nothing that had ever happened before in the entire history of the world. Mary knew the facts of life. She knew how babies are conceived and are born. So it's perfectly reasonable for her to ask that question. She's not scoffing at that news and that message. She's not doubting that it can happen. She's just trying to understand it. She's trying to wrap her mind around something that just seems impossible from a human point of view. You know, like Mary, we all have our questions that we struggle with when it comes to the ways of God, don't we? We may be praying for someone. Maybe we're praying that God would heal them, but it doesn't happen. And we wonder why. Or maybe someone we love dies very suddenly and unexpectedly. And we wonder why. Why now? Why in this way? Or maybe we see other people's prayers being answered, but our prayers seem to go unanswered, and we wonder why. Why them? Why not me? Back when my wife Nancy and I were first married, we struggled with the fact that we weren't having any children. We wanted children and we prayed that God would give us children, but for many years that prayer went unanswered. And during that time we would receive birth announcements from some of our friends and we'd be happy for them. But we'd hurt for ourselves. And then we would see unmarried young women get pregnant and have children. And we'd wonder why. Why them? Why not us? We could provide such a better home for a child. It was discouraging at times, but we kept on praying. It took 11 years, but God finally answered those prayers and gave us our daughter, Melissa. Then 11 months later, he answered our prayers again and gave us our son, Rick. But during those years, we learned an important lesson about life. God's ways are not always our ways. His timing is not always our timing. And his plans for our lives are not always our plans for our lives. But I'm encouraged here by Mary's response. The fact that she feels able to ask this question and raise her concerns. It tells us that it's okay for us to do that when we're struggling to make sense of God's ways in our own lives. By the way, Mary is just one in a long line of people in the Bible who asked questions and raised concerns. People like Moses, Gideon, Job, Jeremiah, and David in the Psalms. They all show us that we can be honest before God with our struggles and our questions. We can bring them to him and pour out our hearts before him. God doesn't think any less of us because we might have questions. And it certainly doesn't mean that we are lacking in faith. In fact, faith is trusting God even though we don't know the answers. Faith is trusting God in the midst of whatever doubts and fears we might have. Faith is trusting God even when we don't have all the answers. Mary shows us that here. She's a great example of that. And let me tell you, for Mary, there would be many more questions to come as God's plan for her life and for this world continued to unfold. In response to her question, Mary gets an answer from the angel. Verse 35. The Holy Spirit will come on you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. How will this be? Well, Mary, God's going to work a miracle of his Holy Spirit in you, just as he has worked a miracle in your relative Elizabeth's life. For nothing is impossible with God. There isn't anything that he can't do. Friends, at the heart of Christmas is this miracle of the incarnation. God taking on human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. The miracle of the Almighty One coming into this world, being born as a baby in Bethlehem, being born to a virgin named Mary. Christmas tells us that nothing is impossible with God. The birth of Jesus reassures us that God can do anything that he is willing to do. And so I ask that you would keep that in mind during this Advent Christmas season. If there's anyone you're praying for, if there's something you're praying about and the door hasn't yet closed, or the situation hasn't yet resolved itself, then I would encourage you to keep on praying. God may yet give you the answer that you're looking for, or he may give you an even better answer. The Bible simply tells us to keep on asking, keep on seeking, and keep on knocking. And that brings us to Mary's third response, her response of faith. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, she said. May your word to me be fulfilled. In other words, I'm willing to do this if that's what God wants me to do. I am willing to offer myself up to God to fulfill his purposes. You know, Mary may have been young at this point in her life. She may have been ordinary in so many ways. She may have had her share of questions and feelings of anxiety. but she was also a person of deep faith, being willing to accept this responsibility with all that it would entail. It would not be an easy road for Mary in the weeks and years ahead. Taking on this assignment was going to bring a lot of complications into her life. By saying yes to God, she was opening herself to rejection and ridicule, humiliation and shame. People were bound to talk behind her back. Being pregnant and unmarried in those days was scandalous. She was going to be the target of malicious gossip by people who didn't understand the truth of her situation. Being the mother of Jesus was going to cost her dearly. She had to give up all the plans she had for her life in order to submit to God's plans for her life. But she was willing to do that for God, if that's what he wanted. In the end, she trusts God and leaves him to work out all of the details. Like Mary, God calls us to trust him even when it's hard. He calls us to trust him even when there are things we don't understand. Even when he's asking us to do something that doesn't make sense. He calls us to trust him even when it's costly and requires sacrifice. But as we trust him, here's the bottom line. As we trust him, God shows himself to be trustworthy to us. A few years back, someone from our church in Belvedere gave me a copy of a story that he had come across. It was about a younger pastor who was walking through a garden with an older, seasoned pastor. And as they were walking through this garden, the younger pastor shared some of the insecurities that he had with God's call upon his life. And the older pastor listened to him as he shared. And then he walked over to a rose bush, took a rosebud, and handed it to the younger pastor. And then he challenged that younger pastor to try to open that rosebud without tearing any petals. Well, the younger pastor was a little perplexed as to what this had to do with God's calling upon his life, but he decided to give it a try. And in a very short time, he discovered he could not open up that rose without tearing the petals away. That's when the seasoned pastor read him this poem. It's only a tiny rosebud, a flower of God's design, but I can't unfold the petals with these clumsy hands of mine. The secret of unfolding flowers is not known to such as I. God opens the flower so sweetly when in my hands they fade and die. If I cannot unfold a rosebud, this flower of God's design, then how can I think I have wisdom to unfold this life of mine? So I'll have to trust him for his leading each moment of every day. I will look to him for guidance each step along the way. The pathway that lies before me, only my heavenly Father knows. I'll trust him to unfold the moments, just as he unfolds the rose. Trusting God for his leading, looking him to him for his guidance, allowing him to unfold those moments of our lives. That's what faith is all about. And when we act in faith, we find that God is faithful. You know, that story hits home personally for me because there have been a lot of times during my years of ministry when I've questioned and struggled with God's calling upon my life. I have a confession to make this morning. I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you realize this. But every time I get up here on Sunday morning in front of you to preach God's word, It's a struggle for me. It's a challenge for me because by nature I am an introvert. And yet the nature of my ministry calls me to preach the word of God. And I just want you to know that standing up here this morning in front of you, it is a testimony to the trustworthiness of God. It's a testimony to his power and provision in my life. I am a living testimony, if you will, to the fact that nothing is impossible with God as we trust him and place our faith in him. I was a pastor for 36 years. I'm retired now. The last 2 years, I've been guest speaking on and off here and at Biwabik Covenant Church. During those 38 years of ministry, I estimate I preached over 1,600 sermons. Think about what that means. That's 1,600 times that God has come through for me, enabling me to preach his word. I'd say that's a pretty good track record, isn't it? God has an amazing track record when it comes to leading us down the right path, when we're willing to trust him and serve him and surrender our lives to him. That's what Mary was willing to do. And out of her willingness to trust and serve God, God worked this miracle. He did the impossible. He brought about the birth of Jesus, our Savior, who came to give us forgiveness and eternal life. Truly, nothing is impossible with God. So how about you? In the midst of whatever's going on in your life today, will you trust God? Will you trust him? Will you obey him? If he's asking you to do something that doesn't make sense, will you trust him? Will you believe that he is with you to guide you and empower you and enable you, even if you find yourself in the midst of difficult, perplexing circumstances? And if you haven't already, will you welcome the gift of the Savior into your life by placing your trust in him today? When you're making your Christmas list this year, make sure that at the top of your list, you ask God to give you a faith like Mary. My prayer for all of us is that we would have a Mary, M-A-R-Y, Christmas. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mary's example that we have here in the Scriptures that show us what true faith is all about. We thank you that she was willing to submit to your plan for her life, even though it was hard and seemed impossible. You are the God who can do the impossible. Help us to remember that when we face challenges in our own lives. Like Mary, give us a faith that is willing to serve you no matter what. We thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus and for the fact that you can be trusted. Lead us and guide us and provide what we need as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that encouraging message. In closing, let us turn to hymn number 154, O Little Town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem,
And now, will you stand and turn to each other as we sing?